Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today and tomorrow. And Lord willing, Tim will be back in the captain's chair on Wednesday for this here program. Joining me in studio, Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. All right, Steve, what is next on the news front?
Let's go foreign. A general in Iran says that that country has taken control of the Straits of Hormuz. The Straits of Hormuz is the strait through which about a third of all oil from the Middle East is shipped. It's a very vital point, and it's a very narrow point where the Horn of Africa kind of shoots up into the Arabian Peninsula. And it is by treaty open water. Iran has been running exercises there at the beginning of August. They ran exercises of what it would be like to block it. They have claimed this morning that they now own it and that they own the whole Gulf and that strait. However, those people who watch maritime shipping, a check of conditions, there's a website called maritimetraffic.com, shows that conditions appear to be normal with ships of every nationality going back and forth without being harassed. So we're not sure if they really do have control or if they're just saying they have control, but it is a flashpoint. And the United States, some experts on this side of the equation say that it would be a devastating, it would require a strong response if they were actually to control and seize the Straits of Hormuz.
Well, and just to let our listeners know how narrow this strait is, at its narrowest point, it's 21 miles wide. And according to Fox News, the shipping lanes are 2 miles wide in each direction. And for many of the world's largest oil producers, it's the only sea passage to the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
So 2 miles wide in either direction, I remember reading that if they decided they wanted to, you know, sink ships and tankers there, you know, they could try to block it permanently, mm-hmm. kind of thing. We would have to get in a shooting war with Iran if they tried to close this down.
And by the way, my geography was off. It's not the Horn of Africa. It is a horn coming out of the Sinai, the strip of land that starts the Sinai Peninsula up north
and
composes of Saudi Arabia and all those emirates.
Mm-hmm.
And
Oman.
And that little hinge.
It is a little horn.
Horn goes up into Iran. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. And yeah. Oman is the country directly across from Iran that kind of occupies.
But it is such an important strategic passage that by treaty, all of the nations are supposed to be able to pass through without harassment, which at this point, it looks like they are.
This may be Iran or Iran, however you say it. This may just be them trying to talk big, you know, for their own domestic political purposes or something. Because, you know, if you say, first off, when you say we've got control of it, that's kind of, what do you mean by that? Does that mean you're blocking it, or does that just mean you're present there? So I don't think Tehran will block it. That would be a huge move, a huge mistake, because then the U.S. gets involved. We send our ships over there. We probably already have some there.
Yep.
Then you don't want to get Saudi Arabia against you, because they're a pretty big country too, especially in that region.
Well, Saudi Arabia would have a huge problem if Iran decided to block the Straits.
Oh, yeah, because you got all the
So they come in on our side, I would have to imagine.
We have a carrier fleet, I think, that stays permanently in the Indian Ocean. I forget the island where our base is in the Indian Ocean. That'll come to me. But anyway, all this happened.
Diego Suarez, I think, or Nosy Bay.
Something, maybe Diego is in the name. But these large-scale exercises that Iran has been doing in the Strait, they have these small boats, small attack boats that they practice what they call swarming exercises, that because they're small and fast, and carry, you know, rockets or, mm-hmm. you know, other kinds of missiles. I don't know if they have cruise. I doubt they have cruise missiles launched. But anyway, so that's their threat. We practice these swarming tactics. This all started, this drill, these exercises started after President Trump pull the U.S. out of the nuclear deal,
the
nuclear accord with Iran.
That's what prompted their exercises back in the beginning of August.
Right.
I don't know if you're going to post that, Walker, but Walker is now playing maritime traffic controller with this website that I mentioned. It's fascinating.
Fox News's lead story right now is what we're talking about here. And on that lead story, there is a link to maritime.com, I think, or maritime traffic.com. And anyways, you can see live shots of these, all the hundreds of boats in this strait. So it's definitely not shut down. But anyways, we'll see what happens.
Diego Garcia.
Yeah, I think that's what I said, isn't it?
You had some other kind of Hispanic name, but I don't know, was it Diego Gomez?
Well, I don't know what y'all are talking about, so I can't weigh in here.
Anyway, I think that's
where there is tape. We can find it.
that is where the carrier fleet is based. I don't know if it's a 6th fleet, 7th fleet. When, anyway, there's people yelling at their radio. They know exactly which fleet it is. Yes. All right, what else?
Let's go back to President Trump and some of the trials, despite the successes that he's having. Last week was termed by some the week from heck for President Donald Trump.
H-E double hockey sticks
for the hockey aficionado over there. But because we saw that Paul Manafort pleaded guilty to some charges relating to campaign stuff. Michael Cohen turned and looked like he knew some stuff that was there. And then since we have met last Thursday, we found out that the couple people important to the president in his past, the CFO of his organization, his name is Alan Weisselberg, has been given immunity, meaning he cannot be charged for crimes if he cooperates with prosecution, as has the National Enquirer CEO, David Pecker is his name, and he has been given immunity in case he has something to give. Now, the reason the National Enquirer is involved, they have for a long time been pro-Trump and been accused of burying stories that could have been damaging to the president. So they now have stuff, and it has got the media in a frenzy. I want you to listen to a couple things. First of all, we're going to hear from Lanny Davis. This is cut three. Lanny Davis is Michael Cohen's attorney, and he is surmising what Mr. Cohen might have.
Mr. Cohen has knowledge on certain subjects that should be of interest to the special counsel. Knowledge about the computer crime of hacking and whether or not Mr. Trump knew ahead of time.
So he's saying that Mr. Trump knew ahead of time of the hacking of this would be the Democrat.
Well, whether or not President Trump knew. Isn't that what he said?
Well, he says, this is Cohen's attorney. He says Cohen knows if he had. I don't think he's saying that he did have or didn't have,
and this
but
is
that
the,
there
this
is an answer. It is out there, and his client knows it.
This is the hacking of the Democratic National Committee.
Right.
And so Lanny Davis is saying that Michael Cohen, President Trump's former attorney for a decade or whatever, would know whether or not the president knew ahead of time. So all that is innuendo. I mean,
it's bait.
Well, it's like saying, because Michael Cohen has not been offered a deal yet, right?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, so it is in Lanny Davis's best interest for his client that Michael Cohen be offered a deal from the feds,
right?
Who supposedly have all kinds of dirty dealing on the part of Michael Cohen, illegal dirty dealing allegedly. Okay, and so Lanny Davis wants Michael Cohen to get immunity or some sort of deal, and thus Lanny Davis's job is to make it seem as if Michael Cohen has information that would be of interest to the Mueller team.
And the other discussion going on with regard to Cohen is whether or not President Trump should offer him a deal or say that he'll pardon Cohen. Now, President Trump, as being thin-skinned and not liking to back down from a fight, and Cohen is now turned against him, most people think it's unlikely. But if he were to put out there, okay, I will pardon you, or hint that he could pardon, that way Cohen is less likely to rat on him if there's something there, because he would be forgiven of that stuff. So there's debate on whether that would be wise, whether it would happen or not. Who knows? I mentioned the media. I wanted to play you one more cut. This is cut four. All after last week's trials and these offers of immunity and everything that's going around, it has Democrats and the media talking about one specific word.
Marie, if Democrats win control of the House, will they move to impeach the president?
I think after the last week, it is a conversation worth having that wasn't worth having a week ago, and we're going to have it.
Are impeachment proceedings now more likely than ever?
Should that trigger the start of an investigation in the Judiciary Committee that could end up going to impeachment?
Impeachment.
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 Yeah.
So what's the word? I'm not sure I get it. What's the word that they've been talking about?
The word was should.
Impeachment. This is bizarre. George Stephanopoulos, I heard his voice from ABC.
Yep.
He was with the Clinton administration when Clinton was impeached, and George Stephanopoulos was all, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, this involved, you know, sex with an intern. That's got nothing to do with politics. Now, you know, the left is going, well, what president did with women 10 years ago is grounds for impeachment today.
Yeah.
It's a little more nuanced than that,
but not much.
Yeah.
You know, one interesting thing that's been revealed the last few weeks is, number one, Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, and I know y'all are thinking, well, he's changing subjects, but I'm not really. It was the FBI was investigating one of her assistants for working with the Chinese government while also working in Senator Dianne Feinstein's office.
And she's with the Senate Intelligence Committee, right?
Yes. So. Yes, and so that was being investigated, and here's what the FBI did. They went and sat down with the senator and said, look, we think this guy is working in conjunction with the Chinese government, so we would recommend you getting rid of him. Get him off your staff. So they afforded her that courtesy. Same thing happened with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She had the IT guy who had hacked into all the email accounts and all the servers of all the House members and even had classified documents. Well, guess what the FBI did? They went to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They said, look, this guy's not doing bad things. You need to get rid of him, blah, blah, blah. Well, President Trump's campaign allegedly has these Russia connections, which is not near as bad as the other two examples I just mentioned.
If they're true,
and the FBI does not afford the president-elect or the candidate at the time the same courtesy as they provided these other political persons. So it just shows the double standard there.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz at the time was head of the Democratic National
Committee. Yeah, and if the FBI was really that concerned about Russia, you know, invading the campaign of Donald Trump, they could have went to the candidate and said, look, you have these bad actors, whoever they are, Carter Page or whatever, Paul Manafort, you need to get them off. You need to distance yourself from them. You need to get them out of your campaign because they're doing nefarious things.
Yeah, we think they're dirty.
Yeah, and so you need to get rid of them, and if not, it's going to look bad on your campaign, and it may not turn out good for you either.
So if impeachment doesn't happen, but say the Democrats are able to take the House in 2018 here in November, or the Senate. The Republicans are circulating a list that they have gotten. These are the requests that they have gotten from Democrats to start new congressional investigations. The Senate and the House, they are likely to start these investigations if they take either of these bodies in 2018. You're going to see a raft of investigations. They want to investigate President Trump's tax returns. They want to investigate his family business and whether he's making money illegally off of those. They want to investigate, of course, his dealings with Russia, including they want to investigate what he might have said in private. Remember that press conference that the two had that everybody blew up over a month or so ago?
They wanted the translator, didn't they?
Right.
Want the translator?
They wanted the translator. You're going to see a congressional investigation into that. They're going to, of course, have congressional investigations into the payments made to Stormy Daniels and maybe other affairs that he might have had. They're going to want a congressional investigation into James Comey's firing, into the firing of U.S. attorneys, into the transgender ban that he put back in the military, and into Secretary Mnuchin and his personal dealings, into his staff email use, into discussions of classified information at Mar-a-Lago. into travel expenses, into Jared Kushner and ethics laws, into the travel ban, the so-called travel ban, into family separation policy. How has the president handled the hurricane from last year in Puerto Rico? What about
we gave him $85 billion? That's how we handled it, anyway.
Well, so this is what this is what the House will do if it falls, for example, into Democratic hands.
Right.
It'll be wall to wall, one day after another, investigations
right.
of the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. Now, my opinion. Now, I'm editorializing.
Well, you're Ed, so you should editorialize.
I try not to editorialize. I try to editorialize. With the sole express purpose of doing what they said they would do when President Trump was elected in November of 2016, and that is resist and obstruct and destroy this presidency.
Yeah. Boy, they want to.
And you know, Democrats, I believe they would impeach, or they would at least try to impeach if they took charge of the House. It may not get anywhere in the Senate, but see, that's the difference between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats say they're going to do something, and they, if they can, they actually do it. Republicans say they're going to do something and then never do it. And so,
unless you're talking about President Trump, who's doing everything.
Well,
why they're upset at him.
He's the odd man out. But I'm talking about in general,
yeah.
the establishment.
You're right.
They say they're going to do stuff. You know, we're going to repeal Obamacare. They haven't done it yet. So, but better take Democrats for their word. If they can impeach, I think they'll try.
Well, I'll just say this, and then we'll move on to other stories. But I just hope this Mueller investigation goes on for another 20 years because I just can't get enough of it.
Man.
It is really awesome.
So that's what you can do when you go into retirement is watch the Mueller.
Yeah, just going to watch the Mueller investigation because I'm sure it will be going on.
Yeah.
It's a free payday.
$200 million later.
Yeah, $200 million later. Yeah, we got no Russian collusion. Yeah, but we do have all this other stuff. We found some corrupt people in Washington.
Imagine that.
Yeah. All right, what else, Steve?
I want to talk about a judgment that came down with regard to prisoners in Florida, not just prisoners, but transgender prisoners in Florida. A judge said that the Florida Department of Corrections has to indulge a transgender man, a man who wants to be a woman, for clothing and beauty products. And everything else that this guy wants.
So this is a man who is transitioning to a woman?
It's a man who is transitioning to a woman in a jail.
In
the male prison. Wouldn't you? Man,
so
that's a dangerous occupation.
So
right
when
there.
They have to indulge this guy and go along, in other words, with his own personal identification as a woman, why aren't they putting him in the woman's prison?
Well, I don't know. Maybe that he's not transitioned yet. I don't know.
Way.
A federal judge accused, I'm reading now from, this is the Christian Post. A federal judge accused a Florida prison system of bigotry when he ruled that a biological man convicted of attempted murder should be allowed to wear bras and panties in the men's prison and receive hormone therapy. The judge sided with transgender prisoner Rain Keohane on Wednesday, this is last Wednesday, ruling that the Florida Department of Corrections must continue to provide hormone therapy and allow the wearing of female undergarments and access to female grooming items.
This what level of judge is this? This is a Florida
this
judge?
A U.S. district judge.
A U.S.
federal
district
judge.
These federal judges are insane. Some of them.
Yeah.
And yes, it's
does the judge not understand that this does not end well for this prisoner?
Right.
He's in a male prison. I don't even want to go any further than that. Our listeners understand what I'm saying. I don't even know what this is.
Well, and
Steve,
you wonder,
this is just before lunch, man.
Seriously. You wonder where the judge gets his reasoning. You know, if he's like, you know what, let me go on the Constitution. I knew there was a clause somewhere about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's right.
And so let's go dig it up. But, you know,
even according to federal policy now under the Trump administration.
There's no laws, no constitutional amendments that can be cited.
What this federal judge should say is if Congress wants to pass a law or if someone wants to amend the Constitution to give a right to a person to determine their own gender. That should go through the proper process.
Yeah.
But as a federal judge, there is no law on the books unless they're going by, you know, would be Title IX or Title X. I'm not sure which would cover, maybe Title IX, I guess, where you're not supposed to discriminate on the
basis of sex. Yeah.
That's what it would. Maybe that's what they're. Maybe that's what the judge is doing. It's got to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else you'd rely on to make a inane ruling like this. All right.
It is inane.
What else you got? We got a few minutes.
All right. Let's talk about craziness on college campuses, and I want to talk.
I hope this is funny.
Well,
it needs to be funny, doesn't it?
It needs to be.
Okay. So,
do you have something funny, or is this?
Yes. This is a professor of English at the University of Wisconsin at Oshkosh. He is fed up with the push to protest college students, to protect college students from ideas they disagree with or dislike. He has said, if you are triggered by anything in this class, get out. Drop the class.
Good.
Drop the class immediately, yes, if you're triggered by opinions that offend you.
And his job will be open tomorrow.
Probably.
Kids will be protesting.
His name is Duke Podesta.
Well, there's the first thing right there.
Duke.
You got a name like Duke. I'm telling you what, you're going to stand up. Be counted.
His students have signed a contract at the beginning of the class that asks them to, quote, please drop the class immediately if they are triggered by ideas that offend them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
That used to be what you could count on a college campus.
Pesta is his last name. Pesta, a conservative scholar who taught at various colleges and universities for the last 25 years, is also host of the College Fixes Campus Roundup YouTube show, so he's right there. Said the two-page contract is something he created a year and a half ago to counter the trend of making infants out of college students when it comes to academic debate and free exchange of ideas.
So he's got a contract?
He's got a contract they got to sign if they want
to. Well, look,
go.
His first name is Duke. His last name is Pesta. That
Pesta.
Might be Italian.
It could be.
I'm not sure. It could be Spanish. I don't know. But either way, you got some macho there. So this guy's just saying to the snowflakes, you're going to hear some viewpoints that you disagree with that offend you.
That's right.
And if that is the case and you can't take it,
take
out
a hike.
You go.
Drop the class.
Drop the class. The only thing he is yet to do, is, as far as I know, is wear his MAGA hat to class. That would do it right there. Maybe he doesn't like large classes. Because University of Wisconsin, they are known to be left-leaning. It's one of the more liberal campuses in the whole country.
Well, now, the University of Wisconsin at Madison.
Madison.
This is Oshkosh. Oshkosh, so who knows? Maybe it's a little bit of a conservative.
So he's going to have to grade, instead of 100 papers, three papers.
Three or
because
four.
They're all going to drop out.
You'd be surprised.
I'd do that.
I'll bet there'll be a lot of college kids who will stick around.
I got to believe,
even on college campuses, even on the most leftist college campuses, the percentage of those who do the protesting, I would have to say, is probably a small percentage.
Well, and it's usually the professors who are uber left.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily
And they get these kids all riled up. And I got to believe most kids on a college campus go, look, dude, I just want to get my class. I want to pass the class. I want to move on. I want to have some fun. And I can't believe the majority are the ones protesting.
Mm-hmm.
So
it happens.
Anyway, my wife says I'm optimistic. So I'm hoping. So
glass half full.
Glass half full kind of guy. All right, folks. I've been sitting in for Tim Wildman. This is Ed Vitagliano. Walker Wildman's been with me. Thank you, Walker.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
Steve, thank you. You were here for the whole hour and a half.
That was hard. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, you're good on the radio. Man. We appreciate your hard work in getting these stories. Brent Creeley, who's had his hands full with no email, limited internet. Good job, Brent. And folks, listen, I'll be back tomorrow with Ray Pritchard, and Walker will be here. Steve, I don't know if Fred will be on or whatever tomorrow. But
I think Fred's out the week, and we hope we have Chris back, depending on how things are going. There's illness at his house. Not him. But
we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Thanks for joining us.